You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network. I'm your host, Matt Moore, joined by Adam Mares to recap, forget the game, talk about Jamal Murray's injury and what is likely a turning point in the Nuggets season and possibly in franchise history. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. We'll be hosting our usual Locked On Nuggets mailbag on Fridays. I know folks that don't have an iPhone are frustrated. They are working on getting an Android version, and we are working on solving the problem of recording that episode like we have intended to get that up. But join us on Friday. We're having a lot of fun in those rooms. Come join us, good or bad, for what's about to come down the pipe at Nuggets fans. We'll talk it through on Friday at noon Mountain Time on Locker Room. On today's show, we will talk about Jamal Murray mostly. We'll talk about how much things just kind of suck in general in Nuggets world right now as we record this on Monday night. We will probably talk about the game a little bit and the funk that the Nuggets were in. And I think Adam and I have a difference of opinion on where the team was at, but of course, all that changes as Adam with a minute to go versus the Golden State Warriors. Jamal Murray attempts in transition as he's racing to try and make a bucket as the Nuggets attempting a furious comeback against Golden State, plants, the leg completely goes, the knee buckles. He collapses in what I would describe as agony. He looked in so much pain, does not get up. Trainers attend to him. They bring out the wheelchair. He shoves it away because he's Jamal Murray and fuck that noise and makes his way to the locker room. For those of you that are not like avid followers of the NBA, here's like what's going to happen. The Nuggets are going to try and attempt to get an MRI done tonight. They'll diagnose with something. You should hear a report potentially from, it's going to come from Adrian Wojnarowski. You should hear a report of like what they are concerned about in terms of the injury, whether it's meniscus or ACL or hyperextension or whatever. Sometime before the end of, before you hear this podcast. And then if they don't find an MRI tonight, then tomorrow schedule an MRI. They'll do the MRI tomorrow afternoon, probably by about 3 o'clock Mountain. There will be an official release. There will probably be a report again, likely from Adrian Wojnarowski, describing the severity of Jamal Murray's injury. That's like the timeline that we're on. We're recording this on Monday night. We do not have any sort of word on the severity. I have not spoken with anybody in the front office. Adam, to my knowledge, hasn't spoken with anybody in the front office or obviously with the coaching staff. Michael Malone didn't have any updates after the game. He had not spoken with Jamal. Did say that his coaches, when they looked at it, they were like, it looks like he hyperextended it, but I kind of feel like that's wishful thinking. Adam, I'm just going to give you the floor. Where do you want to go?
I mean, I really don't know where to go with it. You know, we're in limbo. We don't know what the injury was. It certainly didn't look great. You know, those kind of non-contact planting, knee kind of buckles a little bit, those type of injuries, typically you associate seeing those with some sort of like ligament damage. But, you know, we just don't know. He was able to walk off on his own or insisted on walking off on his own. it's tough because this Nuggets – it's been such a process, a 7-year process with Jamal, 6-year process, and you just kind of go through everything. And this feels like the first sort of, you know, break in that process. It just feels like, well, hold on, everything's kind of linear. You're working towards something. And this is the first where it's like, well, what was the team, you know, where does the team working towards now? It feels different. So I don't know. This is the first of this type of feeling, I think, of this Nuggets era.
I mentioned this like when things were going awesome and the Nuggets looked unbeatable last week. Remember those times? That, you know, I was like, I was hesitant to talk about injuries because that was always in the back of my mind. Like genuinely, Adam, like I've been around Nug life too long. It has gotten into my head covering this team because I genuinely like my reaction when Murray went down was like, oh God, I feel so terrible for Jamal. Cause like, I want to talk about this. Let me pause for a second and divert to that. I want to kind of focus in on that. Look, Jamal being out affects Nuggets' ability to stay in contention for top three seed. It affects their ability to stay in the top six to avoid the play-in. It impacts their ability to get out of the play-in if they slide into it. It could wind up being the reason they do not make the playoffs this season. It impacts their long-term future if he is out for more than just a few months. If he is out until the middle of next year, that impacts everything going into next season. It puts stress on the whole structure. But at its core, what happened tonight was a young man suffered a really severe injury and was in pain. And that injury will require, even if it's minor, will require rehab, and it will require him to work through stuff. And it will require, like, he is experiencing pain. It is a human being that is experiencing pain. I deal with gambling as like my professional writing, right? But you cannot cover this league and not appreciate and take hold of the fact that these are human beings. And especially after like what Jamal showed in the playoffs, where he like bared basically his soul on national television.
Yeah.
He loves the game so much. He's going to have that taken away. He's got to deal with all of the pain and the frustration. The rehab is always the worst. The human cost of these injuries is something that we tend to overlook because we follow sports, but like it's real. And if you invested yourself into Jamal Murray's career and life as a fan, that should be real to you too. And it sucks that he's going through that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you are kind of with Jamal through all of this. It's just been a tough year for him. The short off season, the slow start, you know, playing so great, especially over this last little stretch, and then getting, you know, some knee soreness that brought him out in the first place. And yeah, it's tough. You obviously go with him, but I'll say, not that I'm pushing back on, you know, where everybody's thoughts go. They go to the player first, but you know, it is a thing. Everybody collect. This is what's so great about professional sports. This is why I think they're actually important, is everybody shares in them. So I think, you know, there's a feeling across Denver right now as a city, and across Nuggets fans around the world, of, you know, everybody sort of sharing in that pain.
I think, look, I can't play the optimist on this one.
Matt,
like,
what, give me a scenario where you do play the optimist.
I've tried to be optimistic sometimes, but against the Clippers, I was the optimist.
That's true. Hey, there you go. You found one. Yep.
Clippers, I was the optimist. I understand what you're saying there, but like, you know, I think even from the perspective of like the journalistically thing to do is to really just kind of be like, well, you know, we'll wait and see. And like, I'm not going to have any sort of assertions or commentary or anything on this until like we find out. And that's maybe the better way to go about it. But like, the way my brain is wired, I've just seen this stuff a lot and I hate it, but it is what it is. And ultimately, like, I just think it's very likely that Jamal's season is done. I want to be wrong. Yeah. I desperately want to be wrong, but based off of the reaction to the injury and what happened, I think Football Doc is the guy on Twitter. It's a guy that does a lot of injury status updates on Twitter. And his commentary was like, it looks like an ACL. Hope I'm wrong. I don't know where they go from here. Like, the whole team was built. Like, I literally, like, Porter would have been devastating. Barton would be terrible. Gordon would be awful, but Murray, the team is built around Murray and Jokic. Yeah. The whole construct is built around Murray and Jokic. And without Murray to punish the teams for the attention that Jokic draws and the ability to make tough shots, I'm not saying the Nuggets season is over, but I don't know what realistic ceiling you can put on the team if he's done for the year.
Right. I feel the same way.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and then we'll talk about possible outcomes. We'll talk about where the team goes from here, because they are going to have to keep playing basketball. That's how it goes.
Was there anything
I don't want to talk about the blame game. We'll do that after the break. So let's take a break. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app's free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with me or other fans or athletes and insiders. And we do our Nuggets mailbag. And there's all sorts of cool rooms in the NBA channel. You can join in the conversation that you listen to every day. It's the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You're going to find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with us and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Nuggets podcast through our Locker Room conversations. Be sure to join us on Friday. We'll be hosting on Friday at noon, breaking down everything that we know about the Nuggets and about Jamal Murray on Friday. We will have a therapy session for you guys on Friday on Locked On Nuggets Locker Room. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Hardwood Paroxysm to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. We're planning to be live this week on noon at Friday. We can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Nuggets. We'll see you there. Today's show is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Reliable prices, all the parts your car are ever going to need at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're all reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, and they don't change based on what the market will bear like the airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody, and it doesn't require membership or account login. Their catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. We'll be right back. Back here on a wildly depressing Locked On Nuggets podcast for a Tuesday, Adam Mares alongside Matt Moore. As I try not to be the absolute angel of death about the Nuggets season. All right, Adam, let's say that Jamal is out for the rest of the season. They're going to have to keep playing games. First off, what do you do with the starting unit?
Oh, man, geez, I can't believe we're already there. You know, I don't know.
I mean, where do you want to go? You can go somewhere else if you want.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, they played Faku over the stretch. I mean, we just have a recent stretch with Jamal Murray out. This was the first game back from a left knee soreness. Now, obviously, the right knee injury. But, you know, Monte Morris talked about running that second unit. They need a lot of help on that second unit. So maybe you stick with that. I think Monte gives you your best shot. I think Monte with the starters is the one that's more, you know, there's more familiarity. Maybe even Faku's strengths are stronger and his weaknesses are weaker, I think, than Monte. Monte just so steady. So I would guess maybe Monte, and then you let Faku run that second unit. But I don't know. It's funny because those, like you said, the team was built around Murray. Either one of those guys is not a replacement for Murray. They're, you know, they're a Band-Aid for a Murray temporarily out, but they're not a long-term solution for him. So I would say maybe starting Monte, but I don't know. It's so weird to even think about.
Mike Singer reported on Monday that the Nuggets were looking at some buyout options, including Austin Rivers. I would probably be looking to sign Austin Rivers like tomorrow. Like if I were Tim Connelly, I would be looking to get Austin Rivers into the Nuggets as quickly as humanly possible, because I think that he needs to probably, like, if not start, then become the full-time backup point guard. Like, I would want Austin Rivers because he's the only guy that's been in playoff environments. He's the only guy that's like that, like, has the ability. He's not Jamal Murray, but, you know, you need baseline competency in running a running point, and I think that Rivers is probably the best candidate available.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, these are such depressing questions because I look at it and I go, okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense. They need that. Is that team good? No. Okay.
No.
all right. But you're right that it is. It does make sense. You know, on paper, it makes sense that now fills maybe a need. You know, I don't know. I think where you go with this, to be honest, is you probably try to reinvent yourself on the fly. And that's almost certainly not going to go well, but, you know, it's the best, maybe bad option. And what I mean by reinvent yourself is Michael Porter now moves up into being the guy who I think needs to be your second best player. There is no Jokic Michael Porter two-man game. You know, that's why I say you have to reinvent yourself on the fly, or at least take an attempt at it. And maybe there's a new brand of basketball that they have to kind of just work towards here over these final 18 games that maybe shows some promise of, okay, we found some new things out. Maybe it's the Gordon Jokic MPJ three-man game or something. So I think you start to try to reinvent yourself a little bit because you don't have a Murray replacement, and you just can't plug Faku or Murray in and say we're playing the same way.
Boy, if Michael Porter Jr., like if this season was all about Michael Porter Jr. needing to make the leap, needs to make another one, and he needs to make it about, I don't know, about 48 hours from now is when he needs to make that leap. He needs to go ahead and jump to being a complete megastar.
You know, though, last year Murray went out for several weeks, and that was when last season, that was when Porter looked the best. And again, they had to sort of force a new style of play, really develop some chemistry. Porter's a better player now than he was then. You know, maybe there is a similar, to your point, maybe there is a similar leap, not necessarily from like he has the pieces there, but now an opportunity arises, and by virtue of necessity, they're forced to try to go toward him more. So, I mean, maybe there is something there. I don't think that's a winning ticket. I don't think you win an NBA championship that way, but it might be something that moves you further along in a process that you needed to move along for anyway for future seasons.
So I cover the Nuggets, and there's always a lot of confusion because I tweet about them as much as I do. And like, I tend to, I will try and give them a fair shake in terms of the conversation, because I do think that they get a bad rap in terms of the national conversations about them. But like, I'm not a Nuggets fan. I'm a transplant, like so many annoying transplants. Can I emote to you for a second?
Sure.
Why is it always teams like Denver? Like, why is it teams like Denver? Why does Denver get this break? Why? It's never certain other teams that operate in certain other markets. Those teams don't get these types of injuries.
Golden State, you know, ran bad with Klay Thompson and
after they won three titles.
Hey, they could have won four. I mean,
sure.
So, you know, there's something
like, this is the thing is like, they made the trade. They were so patient. They finally made the deal. It looked like it worked. It was working despite this blip of the last two games, which we'll talk about in the last segment. Like, And now with 30 days left before the playoffs in this, if you got kids in the car, turn it down for a minute. In this stupid fucked up season that the NBA put together because they had to get the Christmas money and they had to get done before the Olympics. And so they cram 72 games into this period along with the playoffs to get done by July so that, God forbid, people don't have to choose between curling and the NBA fucking finals. Now we're here and the Nuggets' best shot at a title and probably in franchise history may be gone.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and what to compound on that, you know, the Brooklyn Nets have not taken the regular season very seriously this year. And right? As a result, they have an inside track of having their team healthy for the playoffs. You know, even the Lakers, you know, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, in an abundance of caution, that's the term, that's the phrase of 2021, an abundance of caution, they are not, you know, rushing back or anything from injury. And part, look, they're the 5 seed right now. They might fall to the 6 seed. They don't care because they know just get to the postseason. And as much as that's an annoying strategy, it's a smart one. And Denver all season long fighting, learning, going through what used to be the story of an NBA season, a team learning lessons through every checkpoint along the way and growing and this or that. And they were on that point, but you know, there's these landmines, so to speak, everywhere. And Denver just happened to run into one right tonight.
So before we go break, and we'll talk about the game after the break. There was a lot of people in my mentions that wanted to blame Michael Malone for this.
Yeah.
Like, look, a couple things. One, Jamal was holding his right knee during the game because he had right knee soreness going into the game.
Right.
It is totally fair to wonder if he overcompensated throughout the game on his left knee and that led to the blowout. It is also entirely possible that he could have not had that right knee soreness and he just landed on it and the knee just went. Like,
it looked like there's that. Just,
This stuff happens, man. Yeah. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, you cannot blame. Here's the other thing. there is this idea, the idea of how the NBA works and the reality and the difference between those two frustrates the hell out of me, because nobody wants to burn like some of these conversations. But like, look, in college, the coaches get protected and people blame the players, which is insane because the players have to do all this extra shit for school.
Right.
And they don't have the protection and they don't get paid. In the NBA, you have a union, but you also have guaranteed multi-million dollar contracts. Jamal Murray has more power in the Nuggets organization than Michael Malone. Like, yeah, you need to understand this. Right. Like, that doesn't mean they're against each other, but Jamal Murray has more power than Michael Malone. If Jamal Murray says, I'm playing, unless the training staff is able to definitely say, no, you are going to suffer an injury if you play. They can't keep him out. Like, it's not how it works. It's just not how it works. So when Jamal says it's shocking he didn't play before.
Yeah.
And so when Jamal says like, I'm going to play, he's going to play. And you say like, well, the game was over. Guys, they were down 7 with like inside 2 minutes. They could have won that game. Crazy. Jamal doesn't get hurt. Yeah. They can win that game.
If he converts on that layup.
And they steal.
Yeah. He converts on that layup. It's down to what? 5 points. Maybe he gets an and one down to 4. I mean, it was a reach, but you know, I get why they pushed for it. I just don't think you can have, I don't like the blame game in these situations. I just don't think it's necessary.
I am concurrently saying we shouldn't blame anybody. Injuries just happen, and absolutely blame the NBA for this stupid ass schedule.
Right.
Like I will blame the corporate partners that were like, no, you gotta get there before the Olympics, because the Nuggets went from playing in the conference finals after an insane run in the bubble in September to back at it in December. And like, we know, we can look around, like the Heat, the Celtics, the Lakers, like all of these teams have struggled. All of these teams have had injuries. All of these teams have had miserable seasons because they were rushed back into this. And that's just, I get the money, I do. But the way this was constructed makes me pretty livid, because it has cost us a lot as fans of this game. It has cost us a ton. I'm glad they got their money. They deserve their money. I wish there was a way they could have figured out how to do this in a more responsible way. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the game. And we'll get some final thoughts on Jamal Murray's injuries. We come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You can still bet on the NBA, NHL, MLB is back, and bet on those Rockies. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time update odds and props, almost anything that you can imagine. You can be like me and bet the Nuggets -4.5 versus the Warriors, because surely they'll bounce back after a disappointing performance. And then live bet the Warriors -10.5 when they win by 9, and just feel like absolute garbage on top of everything else. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Make sure to use promo code LOCKEDON. We'll be right back. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft, the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, final segment here with Adam Mares. Adam, let's talk about this game a little bit. So you and I are in a different place on this. I'm not like this. Look, let's say that Jamal finishes the game and they lose.
Yeah.
I still would not be like, the sky is falling. I would think that their next game would be very significant in terms of they needed to get a win. Like,
I agree. We're on the same page.
It was. I want to start here because you are the Jokic whisperer. Okay. What do you see from him? And why do you think you see it?
Well, the second part is like almost pure speculation. What I see from him is a guy who all year long has been great emotionally, in my opinion, best year he's had of his career, of containing his emotions with referees, containing his emotions with teammates, containing, you know, all, just being sort of a more mature player. And I think he's a guy that over the last, I don't know, I would have to really go back and look and see. I would guess it's been anywhere from 5 to 8, 9 games. I don't think it's been longer than that. A guy that looks sort of like the old Jokic in the worst way. Constantly focused on the referees, not just a little bit, but constantly, you know, giving take fouls, throw it, just his body language looking frustrated, missing bunnies. And, you know, I don't, and so this, that's what I've seen from him, a guy that has sort of hit this emotional wall. And, you know, if you ask the why, this is reckless or pure speculation, I think he might just be tired mentally, physically, and emotionally, a little tired. And when those things happen, you know, maybe this is what you get with him.
A couple of years ago, I did a podcast with Jameer Nelson, and it was like all about a veteran. And I asked him about the NBA season, and he echoed something that players will say often. Like, if you talk about the schedule and how long the season is, they're like, everyone talks about the physical part, and it's just not that.
Right.
It's the mental and emotional part. And I think that if you're Jokic and you're frustrated you're frustrated with officials on a Wednesday, and then you're frustrated with officials on a Friday, and then you're frustrated with officials on a Saturday, and then 2 days later, you're frustrated with officials on a Tuesday. Like, this has been how it's gone. And I think he has been, it's really weird because he's still putting in numbers, but like, he's been frustrated with teammates. He hasn't looked like he's engaged, and he hasn't looked like the leader that he's been this entire season.
I agree.
Like, he's been the guy that's been like, nope, don't worry about it. Give me the ball. We're just going right back to work. We're going to get it done. Like, such a metronome.
Can I say something on this though? You know, there's a lot of conversation lately about Jokic and how he's played in every single game this year. And we look at the MVP and people thinking, well, does that matter? Well, how many games can you miss and still be the MVP? And I just want to say, that's the thing people are discounting, especially when they say, well, Harden has only missed 10 games or only missed this. It's the mental and emotional aspect of having to carry your team every single night that is so exhausting. And when players don't do that, it's not just he only missed 10 games, he only missed 15 games, and the team survived, whatever. It's this, hey, man, he's taking on a burden for the team's sake, that is something to be appreciated and that is actually very impressive. Lost you, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wonder if this has been the kind of thing is like, should they have built in more rest for them? Like, that I think is a genuine question. I don't think rest prevents Jamal's injury. I don't think expecting rest on Jamal's situation was the play there.
We can separate Jokic and Jamal because we almost have, you know, Jamal's obviously more severe. I think with Jokic, I do think it's actually fair to look at him and say, would it do him wonders to take two games off or a game or even just one game off, not playing until Friday? Like, I think there's a real case to be made for he could probably use it.
Yeah, I think so too. But the problem is now with Jamal, that's not how they will go. Like, they will go into bunker mode and be like, we have to push to the end of the season, which just makes it more difficult.
You have an MVP vote, correct?
No, I do not. I have not had one since the last CDM.
Okay. Well, you know, you still have an enormous platform. And I'm serious about this thing about, you know, just don't discount the fact that he played every game. Maybe it's foolish, but either way, don't. And I know you don't. I know you're a person that very much appreciates people showing up and doing their job. But I just hear the conversation from people about it. It's like, no, man. A player willing to take on that emotional burden and stuff, it really is impressive.
Richard Jefferson was talking tonight, and he's like, that's never been part of the conversation. I'm like, that's a lie. That's an absolute lie. It's always been part of the conversation how many games you play. It's always been a conversation about availability. This has always been part of the discussion is about availability. This is why when somebody gets hurt, do you see any 30-game winners of the MVP? No, you do not. This has always been the thing. There has been a threshold that basically you need to play in 70 games in order to win MVP. If you play less than that, it severely reduced your chances. I have studied this for the last 10 years of my career very intently. I'm telling you that is a reality. And it is not true that availability is a new consideration that they're changing the threshold. I'm really tired of this from the players. They're like, every year it's a different idea. No, it's the same thing every year. You need to win games. You need to put up numbers. You need to play well on tape. Your team has to play well. That's it. That's the formula. If you do those things, you will be in the MVP conversation. Rant over. So the bench played pretty well tonight. JaVale got minutes over Paul Millsap. Thought that went pretty well. Ryan Blackburn must have been happy about that. I do think, though, I want to ask this question. Is it time? The Murray thing overshadows all this, but like, going to have to get Aaron Gordon more involved. Right. He is not being involved nearly enough. And like, I will say part of this is very delicate. I need to be like very precise with what I'm saying. Michael Porter Jr. has taken too many shots and his shot selection has been poor the past two games. I do not blame him for that. I blame Nikola Jokic for that. because the offense has struggled. And when the offense has gotten in these ruts, Porter has been like, okay, we got to do something. Like, we got to get going. And he is doing what a young players do. And you see this in college all the time. When a team goes on a run, they try and hit that home run shot to get them to reverse the momentum. And that's what, like, I've seen from Porter a lot. And, like, honestly, a lot of that is just on Joker being like, hey.
I think he took 8 or 9 shots in the first quarter last game. So I don't know.
No, that I agree with. No, I understand that he was super aggressive. The Celtics game he was super aggressive on, I think in large part because how terrible he was in the last Celtics
game he played in.
Yeah. And then, like, tonight, like, the one where I think he got blocked or the ball got knocked loose and he scrambles out to the perimeter and Will's right there and he throws up the three-pointer. Like, you can just tell that Porter's, like, he's trying to force something, which, like, I'll say this. Like, after that stretch, Joker then, like, came back in and was like, all right, okay. And he started, like, really attacking. He started going at Green, getting, like, a little bit more aggressive. And you needed to see that. I'm not saying that Jokic is responsible for Michael Porter's decision-making. I am saying that Jokic is responsible for the offense. Like, everybody knows that Jokic runs the offense. And so, like, Jokic has to be the one to dictate things and be, and the announcers made mention of the fact that, like, he talked to Porter afterwards and it's like, hey, you don't want to do that. Like, you know, this is what we want to do here. And that's what you want to see. But, that's been, like, to me, part of the issue is, Jokic has been so emotionally and mentally wavering in and out of the right wavelength. And Porter seems like he's trying to turn the momentum to get them feeling good again.
Yeah. I mean, those two are going to, that's going to become, I think, the storyline for the from here on out. And you mentioned Gordon, and I agree with you. I think Gordon has sort of taken on the Jeremy Grant role, which is to say an extremely low usage role. And when they were 8-0, I don't know that anybody was complaining. You know, now you look at him and you go five field goal attempts tonight. Is he happy with that? Wasn't in the game down the stretch. Is he happy with that? You know, but going to close out this year, I mean, those guys move up a step in the pecking order. And now, you know, we were talking about this earlier, me with you know, Eric and Harrison, but what are the Nuggets, what is their path now to a championship this year? Probably doesn't exist, but if it were to without Jamal Murray, it would be reinvent, you know, trying to find some sort of synergy between Gordon and Michael Porter. And they're just going to have to figure that out now. And maybe that could be a good thing. You know, the Nuggets have had some success when they've had to rely on those two guys for short stretches. Maybe you really grow a lot as a duo in a way that serves you down the road.
This team has always been great at battling adversity. Like, that's been their identity, is like they battle adversity. But I think part of that is, that's born into the DNA of Jamal Murray. And I think that's,
yeah, he's a big part of it. I think it's born into part DNA of the DNA of Jokic, though. I mean, we've talked about him not. He's,
I agree.
I think it's definitely part of him, but you're right that it helps when you have a second guy also steeped in that.
Is it not? What's the word?
Not. Yeah. Not.
Not. So I think that's part of it. See, Serbian fans, you can like me too. Not just Adam.
Maybe, but you know what? Maybe Michael Porter will develop some of that. Cause I think Michael Porter's maybe more resilient than we give him credit for, but you know, he's going to have to toughen up. I mean, Michael Porter's going to have to toughen up both physically. And I think, you know, even a little bit mentally here is over the next month, it's kind of funny. Like you grow up now, you know, it's his turn to sort of take another leap.
Yeah. I will go the other route and just say, look, you had two playoff runs with this core to figure out if it can win a title. Like, that was the goal, was to win a title. And they were set up to make that run. And because teams like the Nuggets don't ever get those kind of breaks, I feel like that window has been cut in half, and it puts a lot of pressure on next season. And it just means that, like, everything has to go right next season, and nothing ever goes right when it has to go right. You have to allow these things to happen on their own terms, and it sucks. And I feel for every single Nuggets fan. I feel for Jamal Murray. I feel for you, my friend Adam. I feel for your colleagues at DMVR. I feel for Jamal Murray's dad. I feel for just everyone. This sucks.
It does.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. One of us will be on doing probably a solo pod, and then we'll be back as the Nuggets get back in action as their season rolls on. We'll have a reaction to the Jamal Murray news tomorrow. Mike Singer just reported this while we were recording this, that they don't expect an update until tomorrow morning, which is not surprising. It's hard to get an MRI machine at like 11 o'clock in San Francisco during a pandemic. So probably an MRI tomorrow, you'll get the results back. If it's a hyperextension, jubilation. If it's a strain, jubilation. Sprain, rather.
If it does not end his season, I might buy everybody that comes to the bar on Wednesday a shot to the DNVR bar. I might just buy a drink or a tall beer for everybody that comes to the bar.
If it's a meniscus, that's not all that bad. If it's an MCL, that's not the worst case scenario. And I will say this, like, if you're worried about Jamal's career, I just want to tell you this, ACLs, like these injuries, you can come back from. They used to be an absolute death knell. Like microfracture surgery, Amari Stoudemire, it used to be like the end of careers. Then people weren't the same. Dudes come back and win at high levels and compete for MVP and are absolute megastars after ACL. So like Jamal is going to bounce back. Jamal Murray is going to be fine. The Nuggets in this season is the concern now, and trying to figure that out. And obviously just Jamal's health and well-being in what's been a tough year for God knows everybody. So hang in there. We'll talk it through. Keep it locked to Locked On Nuggets. For Adam Mares, I'm Matt Moore. Talk to you again tomorrow.